All right, welcome to the Texas Hemp Show podcast, number 163 this week, as we try to not be all idiots here in America. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is another Thursday as we record our Texas Hemp Show podcast. We are working on the magazine's actually coming out tomorrow morning. We get those sometimes on Thursdays in the month that we come out with the magazine, and then sometimes they arrive on Fridays. This week, this month, it's a Friday that we get them. So, hey, Rachel, how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. You are not here in studio. You're from home this week.
Yeah, I miss you guys, though.
It's okay. Well, we're glad to have you coming in remotely, and everything's okay over there at the house. You want to tell us why you were over there this week?
Well, my roommate has COVID, so I don't want to take a risk to spread those germs out there. So I decided I'll just take one for the team. I'll stay home today. But you know what? Technology gives us the option to do it remote, so...
Yeah, no, we've done this before where you've come in from remote from home. You had to do some work or something that's come up, but it's always good to have you here in the studio with me. But this week you're be chiming in from South Austin. So guest this week is Peter Filler, the voice of reason. Peter Filler, our Democratic candidate for U.S. House District 2, is going to be joining us from the Houston area. Here's Peter. We reached out on some of our contacts through the normal political listing, and I reached out to some of the emails on there and got several folks to come on and give us an interview. And let's bring in Peter Filler from Houston, Texas, on this week, running for Congress. How you doing there, sir?
Thank you so much. It's outstanding to be with you, Rachel and Russell. And as you heard, I'm Peter Filler, the voice of reason, the Democratic candidate for U.S. House Texas District 2, and I'm so proud to be here with you today on the Texas Hemp Show. And I do have a question for you guys. So
sure.
It's a really tough question, but what do books and marijuana have in common?
What do books and marijuana have in common? They're both in paper format. Can be both in paper.
Is it one?
Both come from trees?
That's right. That's a good answer. But the answer I was looking for was flashbacks.
Okay.
Well, as an educator, Peter, okay. give us a little of your background, Peter, on your education and the work you do with the students. You're a teacher, I understand. Give us a little bit of your backstory and why you want to run for Congress.
Well, I'm running because I'm the voice of reason, and I'm running against Dan Crenshaw. He's the voice of treason. So that was just a no-brainer. He just doesn't represent our district. And so I'm just going to go for it. I'm very confident because I'm Democrat, of course. Like, of course, these liberal issues I'm very liberal on, but I'm actually quite conservative and pretty sure I'm going to resonate with the majority of the Republican voters in my district because I'm a fiscal conservative. I want balanced budgets. I don't want government shutdowns, all the things, problems that are happening up there in DC. Well, I want to be part of the solution, not the problem. So as a public educator, that's what I do every day. I unify my classroom, and I'm fully confident I'll be doing the same thing up there in Washington, DC, up in the halls of Congress. And I'm very patient, I'm understanding, and I've got a lot of enthusiasm. On the other hand, if you ever seen Dan Crenshaw, he trips reporters, he's very short-tempered. So I'm quite the antithesis of that. So would make my district so proud just to have Peter Filler up there to represent us, as school teacher, I'm a man I've worked with for years of service in my district. So about 10 years now as a public educator, and before that about 20 years of service in the lawn care landscaping industry, so making our community beautiful and healthy and safe. So my background is resource management, forestry. So I've grown quite a few plants, like hemp and some mostly trees like willow, and I do have a little experience, you know, in the hemp. But mostly my experience is growing, you know, our urban trees. And then when I was in college, we worked on actually a Farms to Forest initiative. So very serious, where we have, you hardly believe it, you guys, Russell and Rachel, that there's actually a coal-fired power plant in Houston. What? So we actually can easily convert that. It's called the Parish Power Plant. We can easily convert that to gas because it's actually the Parish generating station. They have a coal and a gas, but they still have they're belching out sulfur dioxide out of this horrible coal-fired power plant. So one of my visions is to be a voice of reason and at least get gas over there, and then long term it'd be biofuels because they're safe for the environment, and of course renewable. So I'm all about that renewable energy. So I'm so happy to be on the Texas Hemp Show and talk about an issue that really affects all of us in our community, which is hemp, cannabis, and of course marijuana.
Well, let's start off with, why do you think Texans want cannabis? We've been, you know, I think if Texas was a ballot initiative state for many years ago, we would have probably gotten this at a citizenry, you know, if the power was in the vote of the people, we probably would have gotten this done. But definitely overwhelming support for both sides of the aisle politically, Peter. It's not just a blue or red issue. It's a purple issue. And, you know, why do you think
without a plan, we're playing to fail, Russell, Rachel. And that's what's happening right now in Texas. So I would say in the United States, we're the divided states of America. So I want to live in the United States of America. I don't know about you. So as far as cannabis, marijuana policy, I'll get back to that in a moment. But to answer your question directly, of course, in Texas, we're the Lone Star State. So we should be the leaders, not California, which makes $1 billion a year. And they feed all their different programs $1 billion of tax revenue. Imagine that. I looked at one prediction. Just currently, it should be estimated about a half $1 billion that we should be pulling in from recreational marijuana. But of course, well, we do have CBD. So it's more like a mood enhancer. It's not like getting like a blaster or whatever we want to call it with marijuana, but it at least it's a great start. And we've been doing that about 8 years or so now. And what we do have, fortunately, here in Houston, Texas, they've decriminalized marijuana. So we have Kim Ogg. Well, she's still the current DA. And she had a great vision and idea. Why are we locking up good people for just a plant, something they grow in their own garden? So she decriminalized it. So people who just, you know, see their guy or whatever, they don't have to worry about nowadays. It's just like writing a ticket. They do a little, I think it's community service, and it's not a big issue. And so we need more reforms like that. So, of course, on the federal level, that's another reason why I want to be the voice of reason up there in D.C. So you want a true leader, vote for Peter, and I'll do that for you guys here in Congressional District 2. And
so just let me jump in there. I wanted to ask, that's something we've been talking about. Ken Paxton suing these municipalities in the last year or so. Rachel and I could speak to this too, but you know, it's something we've seen. Our state attorney general has gone after some of the great work that Ground Game Texas did to get these initiatives on some of these city ballots to decriminalize cannabis, but I wasn't aware. Houston might have done that some time back. The ones that Paxton was going after were Killeen and Denton and San Marcos and Austin. There were a number of them that just came, recently here under scrutiny as far as being controversial that the municipal cities have, you know, decriminalize low-level possession of cannabis. Can you how long has that district attorney over there had made the Houston?
Yeah, it's such a shame. It's such a shame there, Russell. So you'd think there's Republicans, what do they stand for? Small government, you know, less regulations. But meanwhile, let's crack down on San Marcos or wherever. Like, come on, so if you guys can hear my voice at some point, any Republican, I don't think any Democrat could back you up on that. That's so if what you stand for is you're actually going against your own creed, your motto. And of course, we're the Lone Star State. So I don't really have any other words to say to them if they can hear my message other than we need to like start thinking progressively, especially on a social issue like that. And it's very much it's a skin color thing, mostly what the police look for. They'll randomly they'll discriminate and they'll. So we don't, you know, we have the facts, the data, so it hurts a specific segment of our community more than others. And then it's like a prison. We're just sending the good people to prison. So like we need to stop doing that over just a plant, something that it's actually worldwide now. Just in Germany, just yesterday, recreational marijuana in Germany. So country we're just doing battle with, you know, half a century ago. But yet they're more progressive than us in Texas. Really, Ken Paxton? Really? Yeah. Really, Greg Abbott? Really?
Puerto Rico
I have to say to you guys, really?
Puerto Rico
curious if this is the first time that you've ever ran for public office. And if so, that's like a pretty that's a pretty cool leap. Like, have you ever thought about doing you know, serving on like local like city councils or school boards or things like that?
A great question. Great question. Outstanding question, actually, Rachel. Like I said, so, you know, brush my shoulders off here. I just got to go for the big, I'm going for the big, you know, the big game, so to speak. It's so, yeah, sure. I could have started something small, but I've been in, like I said, in a school teacher. That's like public service. I'm almost like, I would say I almost have a doctor's degree in education and my background and working for 20 plus years in the resource management. So I'm like a doctor's degree in resource management. So I was like 10 times better than Dan Crenshaw. I mean, thank him for his military service, but is he a public servant? No, 100% self-servant. Just look at his any of his things that he's been up to lately. He's so there's a lot of things I could point out about that. But to answer your question directly, it's just I just thought like I've got the potential. Also, just all the dysfunction up there in Washington, D.C. That's horrible to watch on TV. The government shutdowns, like I made reference to before. So I'd like to be part of that solution where one day we could say, hello, Speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries. And I'll be part of that. I'll be part of that solution to balancing our budget. So that's my answer for
you. Yeah, well, I like
it. Thanks for the great question, by the way.
Yeah, I like it that, you know, you're just going for it. It's like, go big or go home. Like, I'm going to be in the U.S. House of Representatives.
That's right.
Has it always been like a dream or a goal of yours? Or this is just a recent, like...
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. So I've always was like a, so I would listen to the radio, like right, it was more right wing because that's what's on our radio mostly, like Savage Nation and, you know, Rush Idiot Limbaugh and all those. And they're just listening, like, these guys are idiots. But I would call and try to get on and defend them, like, what? Global warming is real, guys, and you guys are such idiots. You're just reading a script, and just call them. So I was always active in it. Laura Ingraham, I would call her, destroy her right wing media platforms because they were just reading scripts. There's no way Laura Ingraham, who worked on CBS, came from CBS, is really conservative. She has all these shows, but she's just reading scripts. I don't believe for one second that she's conservative. She's not. She's liberal. She's just reading a script. She's getting paid. So that's what I'm up to. You know, I'm making the calls. I'm getting out there. I'm talking to people in my community. Even my Republican friends, they're liberal in a lot of ways. You say marijuana to them, a lot of them went to Woodstock. But yet, meanwhile, they turn around, oh, I'm this conservative. So that's what I'm all about. Like, just keeping true to my roots. I'm from New York, so I've got, you know, my New York swag, my just go for it mentality. So I believe I would be a really great voice of reason up there in Washington, D.C. My dad was a Navy man, an instructor in the Navy. He had his own textile innovation corporation, and he was a teacher at FIT in New York City, moved to San Francisco, and it's where his roots are. It's where he's at now. And my mom, it's where they're at in San Fran, and my sister in San Fran. So just keeping true to who I am, Peter Filley, the voice of reason. And pretty sure my message will resonate with the voters, and I'll have a chance to actually represent all these 800,000 people and be an outstanding representative. And their concerns are my concerns. So
what do you think about the economic impact the plant could have? I'm just curious, what do you think about the economic impact the plant could potentially have?
So this plant is a miracle plant. So you go back to China, 5,000-6,000 years, they were using it. Obviously, it's a medicine. And so if there is value in it there, of course, there's economic value in it here. I made reference to a moment ago, just the tax revenue, like Colorado, Washington, they're not going back. They're going ahead. California, like I just studied some statistics. They make $1 billion a year, $1 billion a year. And they use that for so many different good programs, education, schools, law enforcement, substance abuse and drug education, healthcare, just their general funds. So for emergency funds, for Medicare and Medicaid, all the different things. So it's a huge, of course, tax source of tax revenue just for the states, not even the federal government. That's, of course, when it gets either descheduled or rescheduled federally. And then, of course, the economic impact. These people sitting in in a prison not too far from here just for those types of crimes. Well, they won't be there anymore. So we'll actually, loosen our burden on the federal prisons. I think animosity too. Think how much animosity most people have towards police. And it's mostly because of that. They're coming around sniffing our cars and all that. And for a plant that's legal in Germany and it's legal in so many states and it's decriminalized so many places. So I think it's the stigmatism too, like animosity towards one another, towards family members, of course, law enforcement. They're my buddies, man. I thank God for them. No one's breaking into my house at night, but somebody's riding down the street with their music blaring or whatever. Like Green Day, they're rocking out to some American Idiot or whatever. That's not cause for the police concern. This is
our guest, Peter Filler.
Great question, Russell. Thank you so much for allowing
Democratic
me
candidate for U.S. House Texas District 2 there in the Houston, Texas area. We're going to take a first commercial break here on the Texas Hemp Show, and then we'll come back and talk about, you know, the need for new leadership, what this plant has the potential of doing. And so we're going to learn a little more from, again, Mr. Filler. He has the Voice of Reason blog there on his website. There we'll learn a little bit more about his blog and some of his policies here on the Texas Hemp Show. We'll be back. Podcast number 163 will roll on. We'll be back after this. Texas Hemp Show.
Support comes from Tejas Tonic, a taste of nature with a cannabis-infused, lime-flavored beverage. Tejas Tonic is a non-alcoholic and entirely organic tonic made from Texas-grown hemp watched over from seed to can. Imbibe in the spirit of creativity. Learn more and where to order at TejasTonic.com.
Texas hemp retailers, listen up. It's time you start demanding more from your vendors and stop settling for subpar service. Elevated Trading is the solution for high-quality hemp products at a fair price. Known for serving retailers, brands, and distributors across the country, we provide a reliable supply of high-quality products that will elevate your store's reputation and keep your customers coming back for more. Based in Dallas and family-owned, Elevated Trading is committed to quality, reliability, and exceptional customer satisfaction. Our rigorous grading process ensures that every item meets our high standards, guaranteeing a quality product that you can count on every time. Say goodbye to inferior vendors and hello to hassle-free ordering with same-day shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Visit us at www.elevatedtrading.com or call us at 972-373-4240. Choose Elevated Trading and elevate your business today.
This is Ricky Williams, and you're listening to the Texas Hemp Show. Hook 'em.
You've thought about growing your own
tomatoes.
You just need to be shown the light. BC Northern Lights. Self-contained indoor growing units so you can grow your own
tomatoes
without cutting holes in your walls or risking a fire. BC Northern Lights takes out the guesswork by giving you the perfect growing environment. The bloom box and the producer come fully assembled, don't need an electrician, and pre-programmed timers do all the work for you. Start growing your own
tomatoes
today with the bloom box and the producer from BC Northern Lights. Available at Pacific Northwest Garden Supply.
You brought me coffee, Red Devil Life for free. Had a taste for whiskey, you poured me gasoline. Shot full of holes, left for dead. Smokestack lightning, pounding in my head. Whatever, who do you do?
All right, welcome back to the Texas Hemp Show, podcast number 163 here on the program this week. I want to remind everybody to check out NoCo 10. Morris Beagle was on the show last week, Rachel, and I thought that was really cool. We're still thinking about going to that. I haven't pulled the trigger on it just because I've been waiting for the magazines to arrive in the here in the Austin area from San Antonio. So that's been my main focus. I thought that was a great show last week with Morris and then David as well as John. But are you really serious about going to NoCo, Rachel?
I would do it. I mean,
it is a long drive, but
I know I've been thinking about that actually, like how it would actually work and how long it would take and where
Estes,
and then have to turn around and come back. Like what?
Estes Park is further north than Denver. Like it's another hour and a half, 2 hours north of Denver. But we'll figure that out. But again, I want to plug it. April 11th, 12th and 13th. Coming up here in another week and a half. Again, the Northern Colorado Hemp Expo. It's the 10th annual anniversary of the Hemp Expo. Our friend Morris Beagle does. If you want to get tickets to that, you can still make that happen. So that's pretty cool. And then April 20th, I don't know where we're going to be, but we might find ourselves somewhere doing some kind of an event. And I know Sweet Scentsy's having a pretty cool party at their new venue, Rachel, down on Congress Avenue on April 20th. And Soulfire, one of the reggae artists that we interviewed in the magazine here for the April issue, is performing that night on 420.
Oh, cool.
So we might end up down there with Sweet Scentsy and hang out with Greg
that
and Tracy.
Sounds really fun. Their parties are always a blast. Yeah. And did you know, and I'm pretty sure you like my Facebook post, so you do, but 420 2024 is the same forwards and backwards this year.
Yeah, that's right. 420 2024, backwards or forwards, is the same thing.
Once in a lifetime.
So that's kind of cool. And then we got an eclipse going on sometime this weekend.
On Monday.
Yeah. So a lot of crazy things going on the internet with about all of that. One of my friends posted that he thought it was going to be, he read it was going to be dark for days. I said, no, bro, it's going to be dark for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So don't read everything you hear on the internet. But that was a little off on his audio there. So we were kind of stepping on each other a little bit. I apologize for that for listeners. But you know, one of the things I wanted to touch on about the economic impact of the plant so far from what we've noticed, Rachel, here in Texas, is that the state employs over 50,000 workers are in the hemp CBD space. And this was an article from late last summer that the hemp industry's major economic driver for the state of Texas in that it has helped, you know, to expand the agriculture aspect, but the retail and manufacturing sectors, according to a report that came out in August of last year, that the Whitney Economics Report was titled "Hemp Derived Cannabinoids in the Lone Star State." We reported on this last year. The economic impact analysis of cannabinoid retail in Texas, Rachel, estimates that the cannabis businesses in 2022 generated more than $8 billion in revenue and employed over 50,000 workers. And that was based on the previous year's numbers. So I imagine another report will be done this summer, Rachel, that will see how well the numbers swayed, you know, from 2023. But then you've got the hemp-derived cannabinoids, the product manufacturers, extractors. You know, that industry has invested over $1 billion in infrastructure to establish and expand operations throughout Texas. And then also recently this week, did you see, Rachel, that Panda Biotech got the machine up and running finally up in North Texas? So they're running. They are up and running right now. So that's the largest mill in this hemisphere is what Morris was saying last week on the show. So that all kicked off. And I think we need to do an article probably on reach out to Panda.
That's really years in the making.
Yeah.
Because I think I was trying to pursue an article on that like a couple years ago.
That's right.
And it just fell flat because they had some holdups, I think.
They have had a lot of holdups, and they've released some press releases, and then things slowed back down on their side. But recently it looks like they're up and running, and I've seen video on social media. That's
so cool.
They got the doors open.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the is it Tim White with Texas Healthy Homes? Mm-hmm. That's his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to us about how, like, all the equipment from back in the day whenever they made hemp illegal, that, you know, it's all rusted and they came in and took it to, you know, to use the metal to build equipment for World War II. And mm-hmm. just, you know, so it just kind of reminded me of what he said about how we're having to really start from scratch kind of with, like, the machinery and stuff.
It's true. So, the industry has had no... You know, there's been no production on that front from industrial hemp. You know, I heard about this in, you know, in high school as we learned about our history with World War II, that there were hemp. You know, they used the large ropes that were, you know, for the Navy bringing those ships into harbor were all made out of hemp. And so industrial hemp was a big part of the war effort in those days. But I thought it was cool just to mention that because I wanted to get to that point about the economic from that Whitney economic report. What do you anything else you want to share or comment on? I thought we might talk about maybe this drink challenge. There's two more days left on the deadline for the submitting your beverages. Today, Rachel, we received the beverages that we got today were the... Oh, they're over here. The nectar, the honeysuckle nectar came in today over here. And then so did the Oak Cliff cultivators sent their. I never tasted this Ease Up one. Here they go.
Oh, it's good. Oh. They had it at
and there's Rita the from
party from Austinite Cannabis Company. And they were serving that Ease Up there. And it's really good. And the honeysuckle one's a good one, too. I've tried both of those.
Yeah.
So is Clay doing it again? Is it the same panel?
Yeah, he's getting new guys to do it with them. But like he was telling me. He's telling me he's going to try to get some older classmates and older guys because, you know, Aaron, you know, didn't score as high as he thought he should from Tejas last year. And a lot of the younger guys that were on the voting for it were, you know, maybe picking the sweeter ones, you know. And so he's trying to mix up the age groups this year is what Clay's trying to do.
Oh, that's good.
So that way it's a little more balanced with that. But here's, you can see we received the Rita agave lime from Shada Tarabi and the Restart team, and then the honeysuckle nectar came in. I have not tried any of those. All of those are new, and then we have some other ones in the cooler that we will share. But again, the 6th is the deadline. So if you haven't submitted and you see this as of maybe Friday, you have another day or so. We'll actually probably give you through the weekend to get your beverages in. But I did send emails out to the Cheech and Chong beverage and then the Snoop Dogg one. I didn't see that one come in yet. So we were still wanting to get those submissions from those two.
What about the Busby guy? What was
Yeah, I reached out. I sent them a text and a message, too. I wanted to try that when we were supposed to get Hobuzz last year in the mail, but I never received any, so I don't know how that's going with them either, but I would like to. And then here's a couple of others, though, that came in last week that we can share with that we have here in our cooler in the studio. But this is our Delta 8. The High Seltzer came in. We've got, the Power BioFarms beverage is in there. And all of these are getting submitted to. I've got to send a giant box up to Clay. So
nice.
This is the second annual THC challenge for our beverage category, and we'll probably do, you know, in that's going to release in May. And what Clay's doing the challenge actually, Rachel, on 420. So they're getting together on that Saturday, and tasting all the beverages and
fun. I love it that 420 is on a Saturday this year. It just
Yeah, I wish it would
makes
be
it so much easier for people to do, you know, recreational things.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a fun day to do some. Last year we had a remote on that Friday where we went out and did a podcast at a venue, and I haven't gotten that booked yet, but we might be able to do one of those if someone wants us to come out. But if they don't, I'm okay with going and hanging out with Sweet Cincy down on Congress.
Yeah, same.
Well, that will be the deadline for that. We'll probably extend that to Monday for submitting your drink beverages for the THC challenge here for our May issue. And then probably looks like we'll go back and do a gummy or some kind of a maybe, I think maybe an edible category, non-gummy edible. What do you think of that, Rachel?
That sounds good. Yeah, I like that idea.
That would be, you know, categories like, you know, muffins or, you know, edible things like Rice Krispie treats.
Wyatt Perp has his Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah, we need to do that because we haven't done an edible non-gummy category. So I think that would be like the next one to do maybe for June.
That's a good idea.
And then we could do the gummy one. We had a lot of fun with the gummy challenge last fall. I think we did that in October. There's just so many different products that you can do on these, and they're a lot of fun. And so we want to do that. But we're having fun collecting all of the drinks. There's so many more drinks this year than last year. A lot of drinks are in production out there. So I think that's a lot of fun. And we'll have more on that. Let's take a preview look at the magazine for the month of April. We got a little bit here. You can check out. This is friends at Elevated Trading made the cover, but we talk a little bit about, you know, exploring health. I've got a couple of reggae bands in here, but yeah, here's just a little preview here. Again, there's drinks in here. There's an ad for the third annual roundup for the Dalton's event. That's
crazy to think we're already there.
Yeah, it's August 1st, so like if we do an interview with Dalton, we need to promote it in July.
Okay.
And everything. So we probably need to reach out to him here in another couple of weeks just to say hi and get him on the radar. But this again, the April issue. So a lot different, man, putting this out every month. It goes by fast.
Yes, it really does. I'm like, wow, didn't we just, I feel like we were just talking about the April issue.
I almost feel like we need to take a break.
No, keep the momentum going, Russell.
Yeah, it's, well, we've done this over the years. Our the history of our publishing is about 22 years now since I started doing magazines. And in fact, June will mark our 200th magazine, Carl.
That's so cool.
So this issue here that's coming out this weekend is our 198th publication. But most of my career doing the magazines has always been, you know, monthly. It's always been monthly. So we just did about 3.5 years doing every other month as we got started. And I think that there's enough going on in the industry now that we can actually, you know, publish monthly once again. So it's kind of exciting, but it does go by fast. So special shout out to that guest, Peter, running for Peter Filler is the with that Voice of Reason blog. Peter running for Democratic candidate for U.S. House at District 2 there in the Houston, Texas area. I apologize. Some of his audio was a little in and out there, but we did the best we could with that. But Rachel, thanks. And I hope you stay healthy and come back and see us here next week on the show in studio. We'd much rather have you in studio.
I know. I'm planning on it. I'm planning to be there. So, take care, and I'll see you next week.
Well, we will talk, you and I, over the weekend to see if we want to do the whole trip to NoCo. Because I've done it before. It's a long drive. But yeah. I'd like to go, but we'll see if we can fit that in between now and the 11th of the month. But I'm Russell. She's Rachel. That's Carl. Thank you, Carl, for everything you do on the back end of this show. And we'll see you next week. Texas Hemp Show moves on. Make you want to reach over, grab the dial. Lord, it's turning on her. Sit down in the shade. Put a bottle of that Tennessee whiskey. Tastes so smooth, make you wanna turn it on up. I'm driving 90 miles an hour down a dead end street. Cold still under my feet. Dancing with the devil, bound to be in trouble. Damn it, don't it feel so sweet? Testing my nerve, taking the curve, leaning heavy on my.
with the one you love. It's so hot, feel like it's fixing to melt you. Just wanna grab her clothes, pull her on in, turn it on up.